We'll continue with our epistle reading today, Romans 6, 12, verses 12 through 23, a reading from the New Testament, from the letter of the Apostle Paul to all God's beloved in Rome. So then do not let sin rule your body, so that you do what it wants. Don't offer parts of your body to sin, to be used as weapons to do wrong. Instead, present yourselves to God as people who have been brought back to life from the dead, and offer all the parts of your body to God to be used as weapons to do right. Sin will have no power over you because you aren't under law, but under grace. So what? Should we sin because we aren't under the law, but under grace? Absolutely not. Don't you know that if you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, that you are slaves of the one whom you obey? That's true whether you serve as slaves of sin, which leads to death, or as slaves of the kind of obedience that leads to righteousness. But thank God that although you used to be slaves to sin, you gave wholehearted obedience to the teachings that was handed down to you, which provides a pattern. Now you have been set free from sin. You have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking with ordinary metaphors because of your limitations. Once you offer the parts of your body to be used as slaves to impurity and to lawless behavior that leads to still more lawless behavior, now you should present the parts of your body as slaves to righteousness, which makes your lives holy. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What consequences did you get from doing the things that you are now ashamed of? The outcome of those things is death. But now you have been set free from sin to become slaves to God. You have the consequences of a holy life, and the outcome is eternal life. The wages that sin pays are death, but God's gift is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Here ends the reading of the epistle. Sorry, I have a pile of papers. Paul asks the question, should we just live into sin because we have grace? Constantinople, if I have a beef to pick with any historical person, it's him. He's on my list, and I don't know why, because I never met him. Constantinople was a ruler in the 3rd century. In, of course, what is now modern-day Turkey, which used to be called Constantinople, which is now Istanbul. Constantinople was a ruthless leader. He raped and pillaged for the sake of his kingdom until his deathbed so that he could be baptized and go to heaven. He didn't want to live in the Christian way. He didn't want to live bound by his baptismal promises. He just wanted to get to heaven. Paul asks this question, should we just live by sin because we have grace? Paul really likes to ask rhetorical questions and then answer his own questions. So of course his answer is no. But it's an interesting question to ponder. Why not just sin? Why not just live into it? Because we have grace. We have forgiveness. Paul ponders this question in our epistle reading today. Why not? Sounds fun to me. Right? But Paul goes on to explain that when we live by sin, we live towards death. But when we live towards grace, when we are obedient to God and righteousness, we live into a holy life. In our reading from Paul today, we're exploring the topics of sin. What does it mean to live by sin? To allow sin to rule our bodies, and to be obedient slaves to sin. And we're talking about grace. Our sins are covered by grace, this free gift from God, a free gift of abundant forgiveness and love. And then Paul also talks about becoming slaves to righteousness. What does it mean to be righteous, though? What does it mean to live into righteousness, to be a slave to righteousness? Whenever we come across the word righteousness in Scripture, we also have to pair it with the word justice. Both in Hebrew and Greek, there was one word that meant both righteousness and justice. But when we translate that into English, our translators have to choose righteousness or justice. And our modern day English translators have opted to sway towards the side of righteousness over justice quite often. It has not always been the case. If you go back and read like a King James version, you'll find the translators previously have swayed the other direction as well. But what does this, so anytime we come across righteousness or justice in the Bible, we have to think about both. What it means to live righteously is to live with a right relationship between us and God. That we are living our lives in a way that we are in a good relationship with God. But justice, when we talk biblical justice, not justice system of the United States, that's a different kind of justice. When we talk biblical justice, we are talking about living in right relationship between me and my neighbor and all of creation. So Paul here is talking about being slaves to righteousness and justice, to being slaves, living our lives in a way that creates a good relationship between us and God and between us, our neighbors, and all of creation. Our letter from Paul talks about using our body to act for God and for others. Talks about not living into sin, not being slaves to sin, because being slaves to sin leads to death, but instead being slaves to righteousness, because being slave to righteousness means living a holy life. And in that, we become slaves to God. We tie ourselves to God in our everyday actions. We tie ourselves to God in how we live our lives, how we use our bodies to act towards God and others, because in this is the gift of a holy life, in an eternal life. So what does it mean to live into sin? In some ways, sin is this thing that we do constantly, and we're always battling to not do. And in other ways, we look at lists of things that have been named as sins, harmful behaviors that we use to name that would be wrong. I think of the list that for me, it's an old list of sins, but I think for some of us, this might have been a way that we were raised. Sins are drinking, dancing, gambling, and sex. Are they, though? We could list things, but is a glass of wine at a restaurant, is that on the list of sins? Do you see where we get into gray areas of how we can't? But historically, the church has loved to make lists of sins. Going back to the earliest days of the Protestant movement, if we make a list of things, a list of behaviors that are wrong, and people don't engage in them, if we have a curfew of 10 o'clock at night, then everybody will go home and they won't sin. These go back to the early days of the church, or of the Protestant church. An effort to change behavior so that people are no longer harmed, right? But sometimes it's not the behaviors that we need to look at as much as how those behaviors impact the people around us. The more and more I dig into Scripture and the more time I spend with it, the more I'm convinced that when we talk about sin, it's not a list of behaviors, it's not a set rule to live by, but instead sin is what drives division between us and God and between us and others. That when we live into sin, it is living into the things that harm relationships, that harm people, that harm creation, which in turn harms our relationship with God, who wants us to be in right relationship, to live in justice with us and with others. Sin is what separates us from God and others. It's a much harder definition to make a list from of what drives division, but it's a much more biblically honest way of looking at sin, of looking at the ways in which we live into sin. We have personal or individual sin. Those are the ones that, at least in the American church and American culture, we tend to look at both for ourselves and for others the most. But then we also have corporate or communal sin, the ways in which we as a community sin against people within our own community, the ways in which we as a society, as a nation, have structured ourselves in ways that harm and divide others within our own society. These are harder to point out and name because they're bigger, they're less tangible. So where do we focus? Where do we set our eyes? This is the question that Paul is really bringing out for us in the scripture today. Do we tie ourselves to live by sin? Do we just live into it? Do we live into sin? Do we look that direction? Is that where we focus our eyes as we live? Towards division and judgment, towards punishment, dehumanization, towards mistreatment, towards all the ways in which our behaviors, actions, and decisions separate us from one another? Or do we set our eyes on righteousness? Do we set our eyes towards justice? It's a much harder path to live into this holy righteousness and justice that God is calling us to. In this world that we live in today, sin runs rampant. When we define sin as the ways in which we divide ourselves between us and our neighbor and between us and God, I see it all over the place. We live in a world that has been dividing itself, probably for decades, but we see it coming out publicly and strong in name-calling and bullying and lying, targeting and stereotyping groups of people based on their ethnicity or race. I hear things like, those people. You know, the old way of saying they live on the other side of the tracks. Prioritizing profits over humanity. Looking at people and saying, well, they're a problem because they're part of that group. We see this all over the place right now. We are living into sin. So we as the church have this call to look towards righteousness, to live countercultural. It's an upstream swim in a world that is trying to get us to group and to judge and to push away others, to start calling people. Those ones are the problems. Where do we set our eyes? Do we just live into sin because we have grace? Our call as the church and as people who love Jesus is to set our eyes on this righteousness, to set our eyes on abundant love, grace, and justice for each human, each animal, each plant, for all of creation, to set our eyes and our bodies on acting towards the righteous and just way of living, to live out and model for others in this world that are living into division what it means to live into community, to live into abundant grace and justice for each person that we name as our neighbor, for each person who is beloved and created by God. For us as Christians, we have an embodied faith. God came down to earth in Jesus, lived and walked and breathed with us. We as Christians, we embody our faith. We take it in and we live it out through our bodies. When Paul is talking, do not let sin rule your body, but instead live into righteousness. Paul is inviting us to act out our embodied faith, to act out our righteousness, justice, and grace in the ways in which we take care of one another, our community, and the world around us. Our gospel, Matthew, reminds us that as we live this out, this righteous life, it looks like receiving the least of these. Because in receiving the least of these, a cold water to the little ones, we are receiving God embodied in our world. We are receiving Jesus right there in that person. Paul's invitation to us is to take a look at how sin is ruling our lives, how sin is being lived out in the way that we treat others and talk about others, both in our own lives, but also in the world around us, and inviting us to turn our eyes, to become slaves to righteousness and justice, to become a slave to God, to tie ourselves to living out our embodied faith, to tie ourselves to living out this righteousness and justice, this abundant love and grace to each person and all of creation, so that we can have a holy life and eternal life. Amen.